Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public. That is pop singer Chapel Roan on her 2020 breakthrough hit Pink Pony Club. Known for her unapologetically flirty and bold performances full of glitter, Roan is also gaining respect for her embrace of herself as a gay woman and the greater LGBTQ community. She's even been sharing the stage at her concerts with drag queens, at a time when conservative states such as Montana, Tennessee, Texas, Florida, Arkansas, and North Dakota have passed laws that target or restrict drag shows. Chapel Roan is getting ready to release her debut full-length album, and she joins us now to talk about using her voice to spread queer joy and connection during tough times. Chapel, welcome to Here and Now.
Hello.
Hi. So I want to start with you and your career, because thus far it's an incredible story. So at 17, you go off to a songwriting summer camp and write the song that gets you signed to a label. I mean, that's just incredible. You then produce some really amazing music. You're a TikTok star, and then things get hard. You have a 4-year relationship that ends. You have to move back in with your parents, and the record label you're on drops you. I mean, what highs and then lows. But from that, you come back with this amazing about-to-be-released album. So I want to start by asking you, Chapel, about you. What did it take to write and perform such great songs from that low?
I took 4 years to make this record, of a lot of ups and downs, and that's why I think it's an appropriate title for the album being called The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess. I think it was like multiple day after day after day of just being like, you have to push, push, push. Like, it was a million baby steps of small wins, no wins, just feeling like a failure. But then, I mean, it all really came down to resilience. And I just knew that I wanted to throw a party basically every night, because I know that's what I really needed whenever I was closeted in the Midwest, in Southern Midwest.
I mean, that's a really inspiring story, Chapel, and I think we can all relate to feeling that low. You know, I want to play some more of your music. This was a song I loved, Red Wine Supernova. Fell in love with the thought of you. Now I'm choked up, face down, burnt out. Baby, why don't you come over? Red Wine Supernova, falling into me. This song is stuck in my head and my heart, and I think it's going to get stuck in everybody's. And what I really love is how it embodies the excitement of a new relationship. Chapel, how would you describe how kind of tough times in your own personal life, you know, led to this particular song?
I was so depressed and sad when I wrote this song.
Wow.
It was really hard to get this where it is now. And that is a whole example for how my entire project is, of like, I just truly want to live in this dream world that I've created, and I want everyone else to live in it with me. Because that's how it truly was for me. It was like writing the music was an escape.
I mean, it's really quite mind-blowing to hear that backstory. You know, that puts it in a whole nother context. And so you went from a low to something really feel good. And on your tour earlier this year, you had local drag performers from each city you played open for you. And you say that's your plan for your upcoming tour this fall. So whether or not it's the intention, when you include them on your stage, it may be seen as a symbol of resistance. And I'm wondering why you're sharing your spotlight that you've worked so hard for to center drag performers in this moment, what does that mean to you?
First and foremost, I feel like it's my duty as a queer artist who has a platform to empower the local queer communities by hiring local drag queens, donating to local queer community charities. And I know that there's a lot of anti-LGBTQ laws going on right now, bans. And queer people have been through this before. And we have always come together and fought like hell and overcome. And I think right now it's more important than ever. And I suppose, yeah, it's an act of rebellion, I guess. I don't know. It's, to me, there is literally nothing more exciting than watching a drag performance. I feel like I'm 8 years old seeing Princess Jasmine for the first time. That's how I feel when I see a drag queen. I get so, like, enthralled and I'm so giddy. And it's the perfect opener. And, like, when I walk out on stage after three drag queens have opened for me, this feeling is like electric in the room. Like the room cannot hold the excitement and energy and joy ever. You can like feel it in the air. You see everyone smiling. There's queer couples. There's trans people. There's everyone around you is involved. And that is anything I could ever ask for, is like just a fun night for queer people.
Yeah. I want to let our listeners hear a little bit of another track. This one is Naked in Manhattan. Touch me, baby, but your lips are mine. Could go to hell, but we'll probably be fine. I know you want it, baby, you can have it. Oh, I've never done it. Naked in Manhattan. I mean, the line, could go to hell, but we'll probably be fine. That's so deep, and I've got to say, there's probably many queer folks listening to you at home, maybe queer kids who just feel really inspired to be themselves because they see you, they hear you being yourself. What do you hope that LGBTQ listeners in particular can get from your music?
I just hope it makes them feel like maybe someone else can understand what they're feeling, especially girls in the Midwest, queer kids in the Midwest. It's a very specific feeling coming from a small town where not a lot of people are openly queer. And I think that my music is pretty openly queer, and that's a good feeling to feel when you are restricted.
Yeah. Have you returned to your hometown in Missouri? Have you done any live shows there?
I did my first headline live show, like, with this new music in the spring. It was the most nerve-wracking show of the entire tour.
Wow.
I was just so nervous because I just didn't know how it was going to feel. And I looked out in the crowd expecting to see so many people I knew, and everyone in my hometown is not that big. And I looked out and I didn't hardly see anyone I knew, which meant to me, it was like, oh my God, there are so many queer people here that I didn't know about who are probably hiding a little bit like I was. And the show gave them the opportunity to come out and see their local drag queens. A lot of people don't even know that they have local drag queens, or that drag happens in their town, or they've never seen a drag show. Like, that was the case for a lot of my family that came. So it was my favorite show of the tour. It was so special. It was so fulfilling. And it, like, changed my perspective on my hometown instead of having kind of this resentment for how I was raised and, like, oh, my God, there is a queer community here that accepts me for the first time, is that I felt that way.
I mean, it took a lot of you to help build and say that the community is solid and okay and can be accepted. You're 25 now and your career is taking off. Where do you see your art going forward? What are your dreams for yourself and for your career, Chapel?
I just want to continue to throw fun shows all over the world is my goal. Like, I would love to play South America, Australia. We're really trying to get something together for Europe again. But another true calling of mine, I would really love to be an art therapist in schools. So maybe I can do that one day as well.
I love that. Well, thank you so much, pop singer Chapel Roan. Her debut full-length album is called The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess. It comes out in September. And we're going to go out on your next single, Hot to Go. Chapel, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. What's it take to get your love?